Our scripture reading for today is taken from the Gospel of St. John, the 6th chapter, beginning with verse 66. From that time, many of Jesus' disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, "Do you also want to go away?" But Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." "These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would strengthen our faith through them. Amen." You may be seated. Sometimes there are certain lines of demarcation that kind of distinguish one group of people from another. This can even happen in different ways here on our campus as far as classes. Maybe there's a class that you realize after a while, this is just taking too much time. Maybe I just don't have what it's going to take to plow through this course. That's why we have a dead end day for drop ad courses. Maybe trying out for a sport or getting involved in something in the arts. You've come to realize that after a while, this is just going to be too demanding on my time. Among many who've gone on to be great Olympic athletes, you'll find that there are some that just could not put in the time and the commitment. It was asking way too much of them. In the military, you will likewise see the Marines. They talk about that some of their exercises separate the men from the boys. So there are times when we may run into these things in different areas of our life where we say, you know, this is just asking a little too much of me. I don't think I'm going to be able to be this committed to whatever it is. In the text before us, the context of this statement from Jesus takes place kind of near the end of the first half of his public ministry, which took place mostly up in Galilee to the north. And Jesus, by this time, had become pretty well known in the region for doing many miracles. In fact, earlier in this text, we have the great story of the feeding of the 5,000. And we hear how so many people rushed toward him and kind of glommed onto him as the one that could possibly provide them with food and nourishment without even having to work. And so Jesus now has begun instructing people about his real purpose and his real mission. And throughout this chapter, he talks about the fact that he is true God who has come into the world in human form, the incarnation, and that only by faith in him will someone finally get to heaven. And some of those who had followed him initially with this great rush of interest in him now find this teaching just a little too much to bear. This is just too hard for them to take. In fact, that's what they say. This is a hard teaching. And so they start to be turned off and walk away. You and I have been blessed to have been brought to the knowledge of what Christ has done for us. We've come to know and to understand that through Christ as the Son of God, God, through that human being of Jesus Christ, has made payment for every one of your sins and mine. And that by faith in him alone, we have the wonderful hope that we're going to go to heaven and walk through those gates someday into the great banquet feast above. And it hasn't cost us a cent. It didn't cost us a single thing. Isn't that beautiful? That God has paid for it all through the blood of his Son. And you just get that free. And when your heart grabs onto that and says, "I love that, and I love what Christ has done for me," you get this free present of getting to go to heaven. So that doesn't cost you a lick. But holding on to this faith in this world, that will cost you. Holding on to Christ, loving him, loving his word and the things of his kingdom, that will exact a cost from you. And Jesus warns us about that. And for some, it may be too difficult for them to bear, and they may drop out. You are what some would call exiles if you are a Bible-believing Christian today. Millennials, they call you. Those who love Christ and love his word, and yet they feel like they're kind of an exile from the culture they live in. This is a great challenge. You feel like you're stuck between a rock and a hard place. You want to fit into this society that you're growing up in and all the other people around you and all the friends on Facebook, But at the same time, you want to hold on to Christ and you want to love him and love his word and stand up for what that says. And quite often that puts you in a pretty difficult bind. Quite often that puts you in a spot you don't want to be in. And so the great question for this generation today is exactly the words that Jesus asked his disciples when he turned to them watching this defection. And he says, "Do you also want to go away?" And that's really the question that is laid on the heart, the soul, the conscience, and the life of every Christian sitting in this room today. Do you also want to go away? When it comes to faith in Christ and being a follower of him, God doesn't direct us to be choosy about doctrine or different moral principles. God doesn't leave it open to us as to what we would like from the faith. Like when you go through the line at Chipotle and pick out what you're going to put on your burrito. A lot of people want to turn Christianity into that. I like this doctrine, but that one stinks. This one I like. I don't want to follow that. That's not how it works. Jesus has commanded that his church should go and teach everything that he's commanded. Everything. All things, he says. He doesn't leave it up to us to decide what fits best in our culture. What fits best into my life? What's going to make me the most comfortable in this world? St. Paul said to the pastors in Ephesus after instructing them for 3 years in their seminary education, he said, "I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole counsel of God." So in keeping in mind the end result of this life and what happens after this life, St. Peter steps forward in this conversation with Jesus and expresses what should be on the mind and heart of all true Christians when he says, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." Where else am I going to go? I know it's difficult to follow you. I know it's difficult to belong to you and to stand up for your word and your truth. But there's no other rescue plan. There's no other rescue boat. There's no other remedy for sin and death. You're it. You're it alone. So why would we want to walk away from the only one that can get us out of our coffin someday? The one who even today holds out his arms to you and invites you and says, "Come unto me, all of you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Remain with him. Amen. Please rise for prayer. Today we have two prayer requests, one from Andrew Jelkin, who will be undergoing hip surgery tomorrow, and also one of our students from last year who's not able to be here this year because her mother has cancer, that is Jennifer Stevens, for her mom's chemo treatment. And we pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for providing our generation with such excellent health care. On behalf of your child, Andrew, we ask that you would grant ability to those who care for him and bring him safely through this surgery. And also with your child, Isabella Stevens, we pray that you would help her doctors as well and give her healing according to your will. We also pray for all of those who will now travel in the days ahead, that you would grant a safe journey to their destinations, protected by your guardian angels. We pray all of this in the name of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please join me then in the canticle on page 108. The canticle. "Come, Holy Spirit, and fill the hearts of your faithful people and kindle in them the fire of your love. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill the hearts of your faithful people and kindle in them the fire of your love. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Lord Almighty order this day and all our doings in his peace. Amen. We close with the two verses at the end of our hymn.